Good morning.
Before we open our Bibles, I just want to say, with all honesty, one of the most challenging messages to preach on, a very easy word to mention, is love. But boy, when we really look at the love of God, it puts us in a position to really understand it. So in today's message, the lesson text will come from John chapter 13. Again, because many of us have read the Bible for many, many years, this won't be an uncommon text to read. Beginning in verse, and we'll pick it up in verse 33. This is Jesus speaking after he had washed his disciples' feet as the feast of Passover was occurring. Judas comes in, he steps in. Jesus says, "One of you is going to betray me." It was Judas. We know the story. He broke the bread, walked away. And notice these words. In verse 33. "Little children, yet a little while I'm with you. You'll seek me, and just as I have said to the Jews, so now I also say to you, where I'm going, you cannot come. A new command I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you're my disciples, if you have love for one another." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus answered him, "Where I'm going, you cannot follow me now, but you'll follow me afterward." Peter said to him, "Lord, why can't I follow you now? I'll lay down my life for you." Jesus answered, "Will you lay down your life for me? Truly, truly, I say to you, the rooster will crow, it will not crow until you've denied me three times." And then he goes on in chapter 14. We'll read 1 through 12. "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms." In some translations, mansions. "If it were not so, would I have not told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I'm going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, and the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father, and from now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and that'll be enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and you still don't know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and that the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak of my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will be you do, because I am going to the Father. So again, one of the greatest challenges is to love like Jesus. And so today I messaged the sermon, a religion of relationships, loving one another. So the theme that I chose this year would be at the end of each month to teach about loving one another. It's an easy word thrown around out here. It's just so easy to tell someone you love them. But Jesus has a lot more to say. So today's message has 3 points. A great reward for loving as Jesus did. And a call to a loving commitment. And all people will know by our love. So, point one, a great reward for loving as Jesus does. Again, if we look into the other letters of John, in 1 John 2:6, and it's a common passage, but interestingly enough, he says, whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. So obedience, right? We talk about the word obedience, obeying Jesus, loving his commands, doing what he wants. It's to love like Jesus. And following Jesus' example is what's under consideration. His example of how he loved. To be his Christians is to follow his example of how he walked. Jesus said the works, right in verse 12 or 14, he says, Jesus said the works he could do would be judged by the way the disciples' relationship to one another was. And that, again, he also says in John 14, 15, if you love me, you'll obey me. So it's not only walking as Jesus did, which is the goal, but to love him is to obey him. You know, a lot of times we'll talk about to people, they'll say, we're not under the law anymore. We're not under the law. That's true. We're not under the Mosaic law. We don't have the do's and don'ts. But we still have the responsibility to obey Jesus Christ. And he lays that down under the new covenant. In John 15:9, Jesus said, as the Father has loved me, so I've loved you. Is that not an example? The same love that the Father has on the Son, Jesus, is the same love that we're to have and we can have. It's not like some mystery to love as Jesus did. So Jesus showed his love to his disciples by serving them. We know the examples of Jesus serving them, right? Even in the beginning of chapter 13, he washed his disciples' feet. We know the passages. We know the story. He provided them food, right? When they needed food. When the people were following Jesus, he didn't just look at their spiritual needs and say, repent for the kingdom of heaven is near. It was always about meeting people's physical needs and their spiritual needs. Speaking the truth in love. Wow, Jesus did this. And we can do that too. He always was sharing what he was thinking. The kingdom of God is like. The kingdom of God is like this. He was always giving the spiritual aspects of what it meant to be in his kingdom and to know him and to serve him and to love him. He gave us the true meaning of life. And he rewards us with eternal life by our love shown to him. We show him this in our love for one another. And that's so important. It's not just loving God in the closet. I love God. And the lost. I'll emphasize this for the rest of my life. It's not just about us. It's about loving the lost. And those are the people that don't know God, right? That's lost people that don't know God. And Jesus uses our one another relationships to teach us the truth of what it means to love Him. So in Galatians 4:19, Paul expresses to the church that the powerful reason to having close relationships, these one another relationships, is to be to form Christ in each of us. We form this. And it's not easy. It's not easy to be like Jesus, is it? When we look at the scriptures and see what Jesus said, we fall short of Him. We do. But we can form Christ in one another. If you've never read the Bible, our relationships help one another become more like Jesus. I just think you cannot do this on your own. This isn't a practice of being by yourself. This is a relational ministry. This is a relational responsibility together. So to properly mature in Christ, how He forms us is to take what Jesus said in Matthew. He says in Matthew 28:19, right? We know the scripture. We know the comment. He says, "And teach them to obey. Go and make disciples. Go and make disciples. Teaching them about Jesus. That's a fact. Baptizing them. We know the reason. We baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit." And notice He says, Jesus said this, "and teach them to obey." And there's a process there. And He says, "I am with those people to the very end of the age." He says, "I'm going to be with you." He doesn't leave us alone. He doesn't give us the instruction to go make disciples and not tell us what to do. It's all throughout the scriptures. But to teach them to obey is to help us form Christ in us. Nobody's fully arrived at understanding all of the new covenant and practicing that. We need each other to spur one another on toward the love and good deeds, like Jesus, to become more like Him. Because that's ultimately what a Christian is. He strives to be more like the Son of God while he lives here on this earth. And so one critical area is loving Jesus. And these disciples loved Jesus, which He would do. But it's, again, weird to do this, right? Oh, I love Jesus. We love Jesus. We're here to love Jesus. But it's a whole other attitude, I said, of the heart, to love the church. To love the church. Jesus has not given us the option to choose who we are to love in God's family. Well, I love this person. I love you over there. You're pretty cool. We're to love everyone without exception. That's how Jesus was. And in Romans 2:11, He discusses this, that God doesn't show favoritism. He never showed favoritism. He looked at people in the day of being helpless and harassed. It wasn't like He said, "Oh yeah, I'm not going to help that guy out because he's really, really a bad person." He says, "I'm going to give myself to help these people know my Father." And so God doesn't show favoritism, nor should we, right? In James 2:1, we shouldn't say, "Oh, sit, have a great seat over here. You're an awesome person, but that brother over there, he's got some issues. Why don't you sit over in the corner?" I'm just saying, this is a big deal. So ultimately, as Jesus prepared to go to the cross, now we turn to this event, He showed, right in John 13:1, the full extent of His love by giving His life for His disciples. That word, He showed the full extent. I don't know about you, but that is such a challenge to give you and give anyone the full extent of what I have to offer. But Jesus did it. And it's such an awesome example. That's why we come to Him. He's the only one that did. The only human that did. So just before the Passover feast, He washes His disciples' feet. Jesus had a committed love without exception. A committed love without judging people, without saying, I'm going to hang out with this person, I'm going to spend time with this person. He spent time with everybody, even the worst of sinners. You see the question. I have a few today. Is there anyone you wouldn't lay down your life for? You think of John, his ministry, and what he shares with us is a love. There's so much love in his letters. And I think if John was here today and there was disputes or issues among the church, he would say, love one another. You know, he would say, we need to love one another. He always drew his brothers to loving one another. And that helps, because it does cover over a multitude of sin. When we do not have, and take this for how I say it, but this is before God, when we don't have deep spiritual relationships in the church, we cease to be the church of the Bible. We can't keep some of the one another passages in the Bible. I like this one. I'm going to keep what this one says. Oh yeah, honor one another above myself. I can do that, God. But then other passages like laying your life down for everyone? Boy, that's a challenge. Can I really lay my life down for my brothers and sisters? So again, we can't just keep one or the other. We either love as Christ loved or we don't. And dismiss the other related passages. There's so many one another passages. Did you ever just think about what the Bible says about one another? One another. One another. To claim to be Jesus' disciples without a total commitment to loving like Jesus falls short of bringing God glory, right? Because in John 15:8 he said, this is to my Father's glory. This is to God's glory that we bear much fruit, showing ourselves to be His disciples. It's not proving to ourselves. We're not trying to be a church that pleases ourselves. We're bringing God glory when we love each other as Jesus described. That brings God glory. The second point, a call to a loving commitment. Not a call to commitment. Jesus was very loving and how he told his disciples to follow him. And in Matthew 16:24-25, I want to read that. In Matthew 16, he says, then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. And so, everyone is called to follow Jesus and to deny themselves. And again, my first point is self-denial. That's our best remedy to overcoming selfishness. And as I think of a call to commitment, it takes all of that. This means at times, I wrote this down, it'll take that all we have of ourselves to love like Christ. Jesus shows us what commitment to love people looks like. If all Jesus had to do was go to church and be good, we would think something was wrong, wouldn't we? If Jesus just sat in the back corner and just came and he was a nice man, we said, wow, that guy that sits in the back with the long hair and that clothing he's wearing is a pretty nice man. Or the Apostle Paul, right? We know his letters and his emphasis on being like Jesus. Or even, he said, for me to live is Christ and die is gain in Galatians 2:20. I mean, that's a big deal. And if he stopped coming to service, Paul's in our ministry, the Apostle Paul, one of the guys that wrote the Bible. And he stops coming. And he stops being part of the assembly and did what he wanted to do instead. He just says, I'm giving up on this Christianity. I can't love people the way I need to. We really think something was wrong. And what makes it any different for those who follow him today? What makes it any different? Have we let go? And that's why I read that scripture in Matthew 16, that if we let go of the cross, we get distracted from being committed to carrying that daily. And the cost is great to give of our lives for other people. And that's what love is. It isn't a selfishness. It isn't keeping to myself. I have my relationship with God. You have your relationship with God. It's a one another. And the reward, though, is greater for doing so. And so in John 13:34, he says, a new command I give you. Notice the word command. He set the most perfect example, did he not? Of loving everyone. Both those who would follow him, washing their feet as a servant, as well as those who would hate him, even to his death. Judas Iscariot. I emphasized he walked away from Jesus' love and his brothers. They were in the upper room. They had been together 3 years. As his church, loving like Jesus is a challenge, and I emphasize, of a lifetime. It's a lifetime commitment. It never stops when we're following Jesus. We love him and each other, that the world may know we are his disciples by our love for one another. In John 1:4-7, he says, dear friends, let us continue to love one another. Love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. Loving the way of God calls us to practice doing so on a continual basis. It's daily, right? It's daily. Even when the cross gets heavy, we have to keep carrying that. Yes, it's a challenge to love. But if we don't carry the cross like Jesus did, we'll fall short of the love we're supposed to be having as true followers. Because you have to remember, the love of this world is not the love of God. And so Christianity is a heartfelt commitment to love God and each other. What would have happened to us if Jesus only loved us when he felt like it? Only when he felt like it. Only when he was in a good mood to do so. You got me in a good mood, I guess I'll love you. What if he was just too tired altogether? I'm too tired to bother. And that's why the emphasis, it's a daily cross. And that's why Jesus emphasized that throughout his ministry. To be his true follower, it would take all that you have. And that would be a cross. So if Jesus had not given the new command that we've read today, many of us would risk not loving one another at all. I'll be honest with you. That's why we have the Word of God. That's why we're drawn to following Jesus. Being committed is seen in how devoted you are to loving like Jesus. Right in Acts 2:42, we know the passage. I've read it before. the first church were devoted to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And the Lord added to their number. Yes, God does the adding, but notice what's going on before God does it. Yeah, He adds to those who are devoted. Let us call each other to a higher commitment so Jesus can be glorified, and when He returns, and I'm saying this in an encouraging way, we can be with Him forever. It is shown by our love for Him, and in the emphasis each other, that we really want to be in those rooms prepared in heaven. Anything less than to follow Jesus' command, that's Jesus' command, to love falls short of true biblical Christianity. Christianity is not only following Jesus, but it's obeying Him and following His command to love. This goes beyond, again, just the love we know of this world. God is patient, not wanting anyone to perish but come to a knowledge of the truth. The truth is, we need God's patience, and here's where God works with us. We need God's patience to carry out His will to love one another. It's an awesome commitment to hold on to, is it not? And lastly, all people will know God's love. How can people know? We're His disciples. And I say this humbly. Please take this humbly. Not arrogantly or I'm a know-it-all. But I wrote these questions for me and you. If we spend no or minimal time together outside our worship time today, do we go after relationships with each other? If we're truly the people of God, if we're truly in God's church and God's going to work and use us, we need to have that time spent with one another. And that's why I say this. When we have no or minimal time, I don't know if we're showing God we really love Him. Maybe individually in the corner. I get it. I've been there. But there's something about being together that Jesus commanded His disciples in the upper room that we can learn from. And so, have we been asked that before? Yes, I believe we have. And our faithful service daily to God is never meant to be an alone practice. God's command to love is not to burden us. Boy, love should never be the feeling of, I'm burdened with this. I'd rather not love. But to show us His love that we may show His love to everyone. You know, we like to talk about, well, I don't share my faith much with people. I don't talk about Jesus much with people. But I sure want to set an example to love. Both go hand in hand. Let us not love with words or tongue, but with truth and in action. They work together, speaking the truth in love and setting that example of being godly and loving people. Loving people, that's Jesus. That's what Jesus did. How can people know? Because He says, all people will know you're My disciples by your love. Well, how will people know we're His disciples if we ourselves show minimal interest of our Lord to reach out and give a helping hand to the lost with the gospel? We have the truth. We proclaim the truth. We admonish one another with the truth. We have the truth. The Church of Christ here has the truth. We've got the truth of God. We have the gospel that can save people's souls around us. This is a big deal. And God will use us by our love. Good news. Is the good news still good news to our hearts? Is it still good to your heart? Does it still reflect your thankfulness that you've been saved by the blood of Christ? We share with others what is most important to us. Do you love Jesus? Do we want people saved like Jesus by the gospel? Again, I just wrote these questions just to think about this. A few quick more thoughts. Am I sharing others what it means to be a disciple of Jesus? Am I sharing that? Do we boast in what a fellowship, right? We sing the song, what a fellowship, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Are our relationships with God and one another daily? Now, I'm not saying that we're going to spend time with every single one of us, each other in this room every day. I'm not saying that. But again, the extreme is to have only come here on the Lord's day. See what I'm saying? By this, all men are going to know we're His disciples by our love for one another. Well, if we're not loving each other and spending any time, people aren't even going to see us. That's why we come together on Wednesdays to study the Bible and read the Bible and learn and grow, to be growing in Christ, to be having Christ formed in us. We want to become mature, complete, not lacking anything. But that overflow is, people will know. They say, wow, there's something about these people that's beyond the love of the world. And so, we've heard this before, there's nothing new. But think about this, take it to heart. A committed daily prayer, right? Hebrews 5:7, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, He cried out with loud prayers and petitions to God, because He did that, He was heard out of His reverent submission to Him. A committed daily prayer. We can't do it on our own. I don't know anyone who's ever been able to deny themselves and go to God and beg God to show him and help him keep his life denied, because the world just keeps wanting to creep in on us. And so, a commitment to love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind and strength. It takes everything we have. A committed daily Bible study. I know it sounds easier said than done, but it can be done. And that's why in Matthew 4:4, do I live by every word that comes from the mouth of God? Do I do what it says? To love me, Jesus says, is to obey me. And a daily committed love for one another. John 13:34, and that's the love of selfless, unconditional, and sacrificial love. Going out of my way, going out of your way. Do I have reserves about brothers and sisters in God's church right now? Do I have reserves? Do we have reserves? Do I put myself out to helping others, or does it feel like it puts me out? A daily commitment of a heart for the lost. Now, if you believe you're all set of loving like Jesus, I commend that. Amen to that. That's a beautiful thing. If you've arrived fully of loving the brotherhood like we're supposed to, thank you. We have lost people around us. An example. And I'm not trying to pick on us. I'm just, please think, this is to think wholesomely. Do I care to pray for those who I know are not saved? Or our own lost family members. I live with two every day. Even those who were once Christians. This room would be probably filled up 5 times. Keep praying for those who have wandered from the path. Do I ask God to bring about His harvest? Right? Jesus said, pray for the harvest. and that we can all play an active role in seeing people know Jesus by the love we have for each other and the love we have for them. And Jesus did say, in Matthew 25:35, he says, "When I was a stranger, you invited me in." You know, to be a Christian is not to be standoffish with people, to have evil suspicions. We're all sinners. And people are marginalized. Those are the people that are marginalized. I quoted that they're pushed to the fringes of society. And those who are outside the faith need our help. Remember that. "When I was a stranger, you invited me in. Come to worship with me. Come to the church that God, we love God." That's the boast we make in each other. Our relationships must be obvious in our fellowship, that we love each other in Christ so that all men, the world, will know the love of God in action. I put the word in action. It's shown. The invitation today for anyone visiting, but even for all of us, is yes, I put yes, it is possible to love like God. Jesus set the perfect example to show us how. And he went first by dying to set us free from being unloving. If you're unloving, Jesus sets us free to not be that way. And we are commanded to love. We can walk as Jesus walked, right? 1 John 2:6, we can. Love is not always just a good feeling. It involves carrying the cross like Jesus to be his disciple, loving all the church, right? 1 Corinthians 12:12-27. And again, going to worship with the people of God, that's a vital thing to do. We need this. Don't ever give up on your worship to God.
Amen.
But do we have any hang-ups toward our brothers and sisters? You know what I'm talking about. Do we love as Jesus unconditionally or with conditions when we feel like it? Remember, I emphasized that the Apostle Paul only loved when he felt like it. Or Jesus. The church grows as we love like Jesus. And in Luke 19:10, we know the passage, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost." That was his purpose. And not his only purpose. He taught us what we need to do as his disciples. And does anyone who is not a Christian desire to know the love of God? Let us consider the love.